are in the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis, chapter number 22. Genesis, chapter number 22. I will read the odd verses. We will read the even verses together. However, before I read, of course, on our anniversary Sunday each year, think about it. Where would we be were it not for the first 25 years, Pastor Esposito, and the last 5 years, Pastor Myers, being given to us to lead our church? And on a day like today, we think of, I think of the word honor. And I think we would be maybe remiss if we did not take a little time to honor both Pastor and his family. So I'll just read this, some of our people put together. Of course, we got together, Pastor, and got you some gifts and stuff. We'll talk about that in a moment. But it says this, on our 30th anniversary service, we want to take this time to thank you for your love, sacrifice, and commitment to the Lord and to our church for many years. Thank you for giving of yourself in so many ways to keep the preaching hot, the direction straight, and the vision going forward. Only eternity will tell the difference you and your family have made as a church. We thank you. And so in here, Pastor Myers, we have, like last year, a year of unlimited car washes for both your car and your wife's car, as well as a cash gift to get some suits and dresses and whatnot. Please join me in thanking Pastor Myers and his wife and his family for all they've done. And we are blessed to have Pastor leading us and in this pulpit. Genesis chapter 22, quite a few verses here. I will start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am," together. "And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the..." Verse 3, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him," together. "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." Verse 5, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you." Verse 6, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Verse 8, "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together." Verse 9, "They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar of wood." Verse 10, "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I." Verse 12. "And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Verse 13, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went up and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." Final verse together, please. "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." And let's pray. Thank you so much, God, for your goodness. And Lord, as we just read, we think of you as Jehovah Jireh, Lord. For 30 years, you've provided for us spiritually, financially, numerically, souls. And God, we thank you so much that we, in spite of us, get to be part of your great work here on this earth. Please, Lord, as Pastor Myers mentioned, might we not just look to the past, but might we look to the future. And Lord, we believe that the greatest days of our church are yet in front of us. And God, help us to go forward with your help, with your favor, for your glory. Please be with all that we do today. Please be with our pastor as he preaches to us and us as we listen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Upon this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. And though it may sound simple, it's more than a cliche. No other words to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I face my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt as his grace rolled down upon me undeserved. For God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. For God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love is my beginning, and his love will be my end. And I could spend forever trying to tell you everything he has done. But the best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, through it all, through it all, God's been so good.
Thank you for that, Karina. Before I get started, I just want to thank you for the gifts, and thank you for being so kind to us. And you know, I remember when Pastor got sick and Brother Esposito was in town, we were sitting in the office, and someone had told him, you know, I said, Brother Esposito, so he was in the area having some meetings, and one of the pastors said, I think you're the man for the job to take over the church. And he looked at me and goes, I'm not. And he looked at me, he goes, are you? I said, no, uh-uh. I said, you don't want it? No, I don't want it. And God just kind of placed us here. But I'll tell you why our church is a wonderful church. There's many reasons why. First of all, Pastor Esposito, I don't think we can give him enough honor for what he did. Everything we've done here and everything we started, he really got it off the ground. And so we owe him a great, great debt. And I hope that you remember him in prayer and always think about what he did. And really, one of the reasons the church has continued to go on is because Pastor Esposito laid a great foundation. I always said when Pastor was here, you know, some people look at somebody, oh, that guy's a great preacher, he's a great organizer, he's great this and great that, and I don't know about all that, but I always said that Pastor Esposito was the best Christian I knew. And so he laid a great foundation, and we've been continued to go on, and we have a great staff. We have great, great people who most all of them were raised up in our church, particularly all of our key staff. We just brought Vatana back, and many of you who are new are meeting him, but really he was reached here through the bus ministry and through our public school ministry. So all of our guys were reached here, and we just have great staff that, like, you know what, there's a work to do, there's something to go, let's keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. And we have great church members. And I want to thank you for that and for sticking with it and being faithful. And really, as we look at our 30-year anniversary, I'm really excited about the future. And so thank you for being here, and thank you for being so kind. You know, I was thinking, not a lot of churches make it to 30 years. I just did a little internet search here. 8 to 10,000 churches close their doors each year. In other words, they just cease to exist. They don't, you know, not the pastor doesn't leave. One survey I saw said that 80% of brand new churches that are planted, don't last 5 years. Now think about that. 80%, if 100 churches start in a year, before 5 years are up, there's only 20 left. And then if you go the second 5 years, 80% of those 20 don't make it. So that means after 10 years, 4 out of 100 are still going. And it's been 30 years now, and our church isn't just still going, it's going strong. And thank you for that. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time thinking of our past. We've talked about it a lot, but, you know, our history, many of you would not have been here, would not have come in the early days of our church. I'll just be real honest with you. We were a teenage church for probably the first 10, I think it was like 1998. So 10 years in, we were like a heavy teenage church. Now, we had our Khmer department, and we had a bunch of teenagers. And why did you have just a bunch of teenagers? Number one, it was kind of a plan. We wanted to kind of reach the teenagers and have them grow. Number two, they were the only ones dumb enough to come to our church. Okay, we met outside. We met in the middle of a gang-infested area, and there was gang fights in our area. No, there was gang fights at church, and there was all kinds of stuff going on there. Then after 10 years, pastor's like, you know, we need to reach some adults, and he took all the teenagers out of our service, and we looked in the main auditorium, and it was like empty. It's like, you know, 75 people in there. And he's like, now you and Brother Board start Sunday school classes and let's start reaching some adults. And our church at that time was ready for it. But in the early days, we look at it and say, we survived. We not only survived, but we thrived under that type of environment. And God just blessed. And now God has continued to bless. We want to think about why some of the things has happened. Why some of the things, see some things in this story, I think, that will apply to it. The text we read is an unusual story, and God made a very unusual request to Abraham. It was something that God told him to do that would be a little difficult. Take your son and offer him as a sacrifice. Isaac was a miracle child. Had him, I believe, Sarah was 99 at the time. Now, they lived a little later in those days, but she had already been past the point where she could have children, and God had said, you're going to have an heir. And he didn't think Sarah could have it, so he had a child through someone else, and we are struggling with that whole thing to this very day. But God gave them a miracle child, and he was the one. And God had said he's going to be basically the genesis of a great nation through your son. And he was not married at the time, and God said, I want you to sacrifice him. Now, this was a test. And Abraham, if you read through the story, he passed the test with flying colors, and God did not make him sacrifice his son. He was just seeing where Abraham's heart was. It's interesting, as they journey to the place of sacrifice, that when he talks to the servants and him and his son are going to go on to the place where he thought he was going to sacrifice him, he uses the phrase, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. That's a very interesting phrase. What was he going to do? In his mind, he was going to sacrifice his son on an altar. But he didn't see it that way. He said, we're going to worship the Lord. Worship is misunderstood in our circles today, and I've mentioned this on many occasions. When people think of worship, they think of music in the church. They think of, you know, they call a church service a worship service. Call it what you will, but worship is when we ascribe worth to something. We give worth to something. And when we are worshiping the Lord, we are saying he is worthy. And we are giving to him something or doing something for him out of a heart that says, he is worthy for us to do this. He is worthy for us to give this to him. And as Abraham is going to the mountain to sacrifice his son, he's saying, it was an act of worship. He wasn't sad. He didn't know how it was all going to turn out. He didn't know God was going to say, stop. This was a test. I was just checking you out. But he ascribed it as worship, giving to God that which is very valuable to me because God is worthy. Amen. Was an act of worship. The same is true of us as a church. If I had a title for this, it'd be a worshiping church. Because the things that we do, and hopefully the reasons we do the things we do, are out of a sense and a desire to say, Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy of these things. You are worthy of my time. You are worthy of importance in my life. That is what worship really is. I'm very sad and in a small sense sickened that people think of worship in the church only as music. And at that point, the type of music I really don't think is worship music anyhow. And we think because we get up here and we bebop or we say something that that is worship. No, it isn't. Now, it can lead us to worship. The songs that we sang today, by the way, all the songs were fantastic. And if you think about the words and you think about the truths that were in those songs, that can lead us to worship. We think about nothing but the blood. I mean, we wouldn't even be in heaven if it wasn't. We wouldn't even be able to go to heaven if it wasn't for the blood of the Lord. And we can say, thank God for that. And the first song, I've never heard it before, and I can't really think of the words, but our purpose. But it's, no, that the other one, with the trail. But it's our purpose. In other words, the cross is our purpose to share that with people. When I talk to people and I invite them to church, many of us went out yesterday and did that for our anniversary. I'm doing that because he is worthy for me to go tell people about him and invite them to come and learn about all that he is and all that he does. But as I look at these things, how Abraham showed that what he was doing was, I'm going to worship. I'm going with me and the lad. We're going yonder to worship. What does that show? And what is that really? It ties into how our church has been the last 30 years. And hopefully for many years to come. How did he show his worship? First of all, and how do we show our worship as a church? First of all, by our obedience. By our obedience. Look at verse 2 of chapter number 22. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. Now, when we read the Bible sometimes, the Bible's a little bit concentrated. That's why we need to stop and think about what we're reading. See, we read this in verse 1 and verse 2, and God says, go take your son and sacrifice him. And the very first word in verse 3 is, in the morning he rose up and he went and did it. Now stop and think about this for a minute. How many of you have children? How many of you have children that you love? Sometimes those two don't go together, okay. But we love our children. What if God came to you and said, take your child, and I want you to go worship him on the mountain. I want you to go, not worship him, sacrifice him on the mountain. Now, I wonder how Abraham slept that night. I mean, think about it. It wasn't just he said, do it, and they moved on and did it. Boom. Think about it. He thought, that's my son. Now, we're going to see in a little bit that he had faith in this issue, but still, think about that. But yet, as he thought it through and he mused on it through the night, he got up in the morning, got everything ready, and said, I'm going to do it. We need to be a people, and we have been a church, that if God says something, we are in on it. We just do it. By the way, that's a really good spirit to do. You know, too many Christians question everything. You ever notice that? You ever been around a Christian and they'll make little negative context, comments about things of obedience? Well, you guys have to do this, or, you know, you really have to do that. And it's like, that's what the Bible says. That's all. We're just trying to be biblical Christians. We're not better than anybody else, but we're just trying to follow God. That is, to be honest with you, not to be negative, but it's kind of getting a little bit harder to find in Christianity. There's a group leader, the singer for a group called Jars of Clay. I don't listen to them. They probably need to be broke. But talking about what God says about sexuality and immorality, here's what their leader said. The Bible doesn't speak on morality. Now, I don't know what Bible he's reading. The Bible does speak about those type of things. Now, it's probably not good business for him to say that, to say the opposite. But, you know, I like a heart of someone that says, you know, I'm just trying to find out what God wants for my life, and when God says do it, I'm just going to do it. That's all. By the way, I hope we're not doing things for show. I heard a story about a man, an old cowboy type guy, and he went to a fair, and a man was leading this really nice horse, and the horse was, you know how they do at the fair sometimes, they're really sharp looking, they have the best looking, you know, the dogs that prance around like they're cats, you know, that type of stuff. He looked at the horse and says, hey, is that a saddle riding horse? He's like, no, he doesn't really do saddle ride. Well, is he a bareback riding horse? And he goes through, is he a working horse? He goes, no, this horse is mostly just for show. The guy goes, okay. The same guy went to church the next Sunday and he saw everybody dressed up nice. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with being dressed up nice. I think it's just a sign of respect. But he said, hey, to your church members, do they go out into the community and talk about Jesus Christ? And he goes, well, you know, they really don't do that. Do they give to your church? And the pastor goes, well, you know, we don't really have a lot of them that do that. Well, are they out helping people? And it's like, well, you know, we really don't have many of them that do that. He goes, oh, so they're like the horse. They're just here for the show. And by the way, let me just say this. We don't have a church that's just here for a show. Okay? We're here because we love the Lord, and hopefully we're here because we love people. And we've been doing that over the last 30 years, and it's just like, Lord, what do you want? Whether it's personally, God, what obedience do you want in my life? Or, God, what do you want our church to do? You know what God wants our church to do? And I'm sure we'll get there. God wants our church to reach others, to love this community. And that means we have to get outside of ourselves. You know why sometimes people chirp and get a little bit cattywampus in a church? Because they're not doing that. But we've not been like that. Thank you for that. Number two, we see in Abraham and we see in our church, I think another reason we've been a worshiping church is by our willingness. Look at verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, Moriah. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound his son Isaac, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now it was one thing to marinate on it all night and get up and actually get going to it. But when he actually got to the part where he had to do it, he did not hesitate. He was willing to do it. Now that was a very unusual request. By the way, the pagan cultures of their time would sacrifice their children to their false gods. That was completely different from the God of the Bible, from the true God. And he's making this request, and Abraham didn't understand it, and Abraham didn't know, but he had a heart that said, this was what God said, I'm willing. We must be willing. God asks us to give of ourselves in many different ways. And we'll never do it if we're not willing to do it. See, you can force people to do something for a while, but if it's not in their heart, it's going to come out. We have children in your home. You know, when your children are in the home, they have to do what's said. Now, I know that's not even popular, but that's just how it is. If you're in our home, this is what we do. You know, we don't ask our kids when it comes to things they're supposed to do, well, is that what you want to do? It's like, you don't have an option. You live here. This is what we do. You're going to do it. Now, as they get older, it's going to transfer to where there'll be a day they're out of the home. They have to do it because they're willing to do it. That's something they need to learn. But I hope as a church we continue to say, Lord, I am willing to do what you want us to do. We obey God because we understand what he says, and we're just saying, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. The sad thing in Christianity is too many people are just doing their own thing, and they're trying to add Christianity onto it. I'm going to do my own thing, but I'll add a little bit of church. I'll add a little bit of this, instead of just saying, I just want to be willing, God, to do whatever it is you want me to do. Have a right kind of spirit. Over the years, we've had a great church that's just willing to do what God wants them to do. Thirdly, a worshiping church in Abraham, they worship by our sacrifice. Look at verse 11. He was willing to kill his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, from me. Now, did he sacrifice his son? No, but in God's eyes, God said God knew he was going to do it. Okay, God didn't say, you know, Abraham wasn't there like, all right, let me lift a knife. I'm lifting it, Lord, really slow. I'm waiting for you to jump in. God's like, you were going to do it. You were going to do it. He was willing to sacrifice his son. Serving God and being a church that makes a difference. We didn't get from where we were in August 28th of 1988 until today without there being some sacrifice. People have sacrificed. People sacrifice their time to go out into our community and do good works. Our bus workers. It was kind of neat yesterday. You know, we don't do this usually on Saturday. We had a big group out Saturday going out, passing out invitations, and we were on the downtown east side. I get confused east and west sometimes. And we were done there, and I was taking Mark back to his house, and as I'm driving, I saw our bus routes running. Okay? So a bus drove right by me when I was out inviting people to church. I saw another, and then I'm driving to drop Mark off, and I see some of the Filipino folks. They're over there knocking doors over by his house. And I'm like, don't knock on his door. He's not going to listen anyhow. But it's like everywhere I drove, I saw our folks out on this Saturday just sacrificing some of their time. You know, we go out on Tuesday nights. We sacrifice some of our time. Thank God for our bus workers. They sacrifice their time visiting on Saturday. And we get here. We think we get here early. They really get here early. Thank God for our nursery workers. They sacrifice their time. And we enjoy the service. And now, they are a little more grateful because we finally got last year our air conditioning for those wing of classes there. So they have air conditioning now. But they come here a little early. And you know what their church service is? Taking care of our wonderful little children. Okay? I can't get excited about that. One time many years ago, Pastor had a Sunday night, and he had a ladies' night. And he had a special service just for the ladies, and he had the men take care of the nursery. Now, I was smart. I got the hallway duty. I'm like, I am not getting stuck in a room. I have grandkids and children. I know what that's like. I'm going to do nursery duty. And just so happens, Pastor Esposito got into it. That was one of the longest services of the year. And I, hallway duty, I just kind of walk around and make sure everybody's doing okay and make sure, you know, no one comes in with a knife. No one does that. And Brother Beck was still here, and he had one of the classrooms. And every time I'd walk by, it's like he'd look at me and say, is Pastor Esposito done yet? And he has four little ones, you know? Listen, thank God for that. And our giving. By the way, not a single one of you would be in here if someone hadn't given. Not a single one of you. You know, we would, where do tracks come from? Where does everything we do, it takes some money. And we've sacrificed. Thank God that the church is willing to sacrifice. Remember many years ago, Chrysler Corporation in the early 80s was, late 70s, early 80s was ready to go under. It was very low quality and the company was just doing horrible. I remember at that time, it was before I went to Bible college, I was actually working for my dad, and the radio was on, and the news came on, that a man named Lee Iacocca, he used to work for Ford, but then he got saved and left, okay? Said, Ford, that's a pagan organization. But he went to take, they announced that he was going to become the new CEO of Chrysler, and my dad kind of kept up with business. He had his own business, and he goes, he's going to change that company. You know what he did? The company was in such bad shape, they needed to cut back on salaries. And he called all of his executives in and said, listen, for right now, until we turn this company around, all of you need to take a pay cut. And then he said, I am going to be paid $1 a year. That's it. What was he saying? Like, I know you're sacrificing. I'm going to completely sacrifice to get this job done. Now, I'm not asking you to give a dollar a year, okay? Say, I'm in. How many of you give a dollar a year? Man, I'd jump in on that one too, right? But listen, it takes that. Someone's got to be willing to help others. By the way, in a church, if we've been here for a while and new people are here, someone that needs help, someone needs to go out with them. Someone needs to pray with them. That's what a church does. We might have to sacrifice some time to do that. Quickly, I'll give you the last two. We're done here. By our faith, verse 5. We're going back. He said, and I and the lad will go yonder to worship and come again to you. Now, if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 to 19, we won't for sake of time. Here's what Abraham did. He believed, because God said that I'm going to build a nation for you out of your son, Isaac. Now, he realized Isaac was not married at that time and didn't have children. So how could Isaac do it if he kills him? He believed that if he killed him, God was going to bring him back to life so he could fulfill that promise. That's called faith. Why do we do the things we do? Because we believe God and we believe his word. And when we do that, we are willing to do what God tells us to do. That means take, by the way, living for the Lord sometimes takes risk. Sometimes if we're newer Christians and we read the Bible, it's like, I don't quite get that. That doesn't make sense to me. But when we follow through on it, it works out. And lastly, by our reverence. Verse 12, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God by our reverence. Let me just say this and I'm done. I think God deserves a little more reverence from us than we give to him. Okay, that's what fearing God is. You know, too many Christians now, God's their buddy, God's their bumper sticker phrase, okay? That's not who I serve. I serve a God who's so far ahead of me, I don't even understand him. What does he say in Isaiah? My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You know what God is saying? You have no idea. I am God. You have no idea what my ways are like. You have no, my thoughts are so far beyond yours. And we serve a God that is way farther ahead of us. You know, we try to make, some churches try to make Jesus a hipster. Or, you know, or they say something blasphemous, like if Jesus would hear, he would be sitting in a bar drinking beer with us talking theology. That is blasphemy. Just heard about a church up in Santa Cruz. They're going to open a brewery. And they're going to have their church service in the brewery, and they're going to give the profits to Planned Parenthood for abortions. There is zero of God in that. Where's the God is an awesome God. I know that old song, but God is farther. He is so far ahead of us, and thank God for that. I don't want to serve a weak God. I want to serve a God that's like, you know what? I can trust him, and I should trust him. For 30 years, we've been a worshiping church, and just my admonition this morning is this. Let's continue. God's been good to us for 30 years, the song Karina sang. He's not going to change. And by the way, not just our church, but in your life. I've been serving God now since I was 18. So that's about what? 15 years now. My math, it gets a little fuzzy sometimes, okay? But you know what? He's never done me wrong. I can say this, I've done him wrong. I've not always been faithful to him like I should, but man, I'm glad he's still been faithful to me. Let's keep being a worshiping church and a worshiping Christian. Let's stand together just for a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed.